Stuck on the Rocks Again, Chapter 1. Camp had always been a big part of my life. Sent to camp as a youngster of 8, I took to it like a duck to water. I loved everything about camp, the crafts, the swimming, and the comradeship. But most of all, I loved the outdoors, out tripping in particular. It was there I discovered God. I actually found out that he had been calling me for years. It was there I learned to listen. Early in my 12th year, I accepted the free gift of salvation and became a Christian. That was only the beginning. As it says in Scripture, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. John 3, verse 3. From that day forward, my eyes were open, so now I could see God at work. God began the lifelong job of teaching me that my works don't work, that my finest efforts are not enough to please him. This is often a long, painful lesson, since we all have a tendency to want to do it ourselves, to use our minuscule efforts to please a holy God. Camp was one of the tools that God used to show me his awesome power, his caring presence, and his amazing concern about my life. After all, why would the creator of the universe care about me? Why would this awesome, all-powerful God stoop to even notice me, let alone intervene in my life? Yet he did. I spent many joyous weeks at camp over the summers of my youth, but then as teen years arrived, I drifted away to pursue summer work and other interests. In the summer before my last year at university, God called me back to camp to help out on a canoe trip. I could only spare 1 week due to the demands of my summer job, but I was elated to get back to camp. I was going to be at my favorite section, Northwoods, and the out-tripping section of Camp Minioi, a Christian camp, located on the beautiful banks of Mary Lake in Port Sydney near Huntsville. I arrived on a Saturday before the canoe trip, ready to take on the challenge. I met the trip leader, Randy, a group of 12 female campers, one male counselor, and 2 female counselors, Randy and I, were going. The camp administrator had decided to send along a male counselor for the first time in their history to protect us girls from invading strangers at campsites. In the previous 3 years, there had been some incidents that concerned the camp, so this new policy was developed. The staff weren't particularly happy about this addition to our canoe trip, as it felt like the presence of a male would impact our privacy and freedom. After all, this was a girls' camp. There is no question that it made teenage girls act funny. Good grief. What a commotion over one male. In the past, no one would consider wearing curlers in her hair, or for that matter, even brushing it on a canoe trip. The clothes you chose were the rattiest shorts and the t-shirts, and this year we looked like a fashion parade, with all the girls decked out in their very best. We set out on the first day paddling down the lake until we reached our planned campsite for the night, a lovely point on an island. As usual, we split up the chores amongst the campers and staff. People were assigned to put up tents, find firewood, dig a john, cook dinner, and clean up. Here again, the routine was disrupted by the male presence. The girls who were designated to dig the john were so concerned about him that they dug it halfway across the heavily wooded island and then proceeded to take all the girls on a tour to show them where that was. Randy and I had a good chuckle about this. After all, to make such a fuss over one male. Good grief, what a nuisance. The only benefit from having him along was having his help portaging the canoes. Apart from that, he was just upsetting the normal routine. Our apparently delicate young females could no longer lift anything heavier than a teaspoon. What happened to our hardy, qualified trippers? Valuable time was wasted, vying for his attention to help with just about everything. Night came and a sense of peace filled the campsite as we gathered around the campfire for singing and devotions. Is there anything better than admiring God's handiwork in the night sky? Finally, we settled the girls into their tents and said goodnight. Randy and I sat around chatting for a while and then prepared for bed. We decided to make one last trip to the John while we were still dressed. I guess we were as conscious of a male presence as well. We headed off to find the John in the dark with a very small flashlight. Let me see now. You walk to this rock, then you turn right, then you walk to the tree, and then you turn left, then you walk to the stump, and you turn right. Then the John should be straight ahead, behind the next tree. Is that right? I asked her. Yes, there it is. Good job, said she. We completed our business, laughing at the absurd distance the John was from the campsite. Man, you couldn't even hear or see the campsite from here. We turned around and retraced our steps back to nowhere. What happened to the campsite? We laughed and turned around to go back to the John to try again. We found it, and again retraced our steps, carefully checking the directions with each other as we went. And again we found nothing. Then giggling started. How absurd was it for the head of campcraft, the person who teaches orienteering and out-tripping skills, and her helper, to be lost at night in the bush? Having contemplated this embarrassment, we carefully retraced our steps back to the John, or at least we tried to. But this time, we didn't find it. Now, this was beginning to look a bit serious. We shone the flashlight around in a full circle and noted that all the trees looked very much the same in the glow of our small light. After reviewing our situation and carefully and calmly weighing the options, we chose the only logical course of action. We screamed for help, then waited, fully expecting that our hitherto useless male counselor would come charging to the rescue through the bush. And we waited, and waited, and waited. He still did not arrive. In fact, there were no human sounds to be heard at all except ours. Man, we would have to get a male who was such a heavy sleeper. Think of that. This was ridiculous. Two grown women, senior counselors, responsible for this canoe trip and for the lives of 12 campers, lost while our campers slept. How mortifying. At last, after we had exhausted all other options, we prayed. God did not instantly teleport us back to the campsite, but he did bring to mind the fact that we were on an island and were camped on the shoreline. Bingo, that was the answer. With a prayer on our lips and thankfulness in our hearts, we proceeded to beeline our way across the island using the bright skies as a guide until the shoreline was reached. Then we walked along the shoreline until the campsite was found. Exhausted, we collapsed in our tent. The rest of the trip went smoothly by comparison. A valuable lesson had been learned. Pray first, not last. Trust God to rescue you, not men, and not yourselves. The end of chapter 1.